Scott Schweitzer for SmartNix Today. I'm joined by both Jan and Lucas from Dynanic, and we're going to go over DDoS and how their Dynanic pipeline in an FPGA is highly efficient for defending against DDoS. Welcome, Jan and Lucas.
Hello, Scott.
Do you want to each take a moment and introduce yourself?
Maybe very shortly. My name is Jan Kurunek. I'm a Chief Strategic Officer in Dynanic, who is responsible with the strategic for the product. And I have a pretty huge experience in network packet processing and the network security field, more than 20 years. So, and together with me it is here Lucas. Lucas, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having us, Scott. I'm Lucas Kekeli. I'm the Chief Technical Officer of Dynanic Company, and I have also a long experience with FPGA acceleration, mainly in the area of network processing and high-speed packet handling.
Why don't we just jump right into it, and either one of you can pick this off. How do you guys differentiate a DDoS attack from the more traditional attacks some folks will use when, you know, attacking a domain?
Okay, so when we look at the standard attack tries to get some, let's say, data to breach some security layers and so on. It's from a single, typically from the single server, from the single point on the network. And it's focused on the higher layers, on the application layers. When we compare it to the DDoS, DDoS is an attack on the infrastructure to deny the service, the accessibility to some service on the network. Yeah, so DDoS attack is from many sources. So if you want to protect against the DDoS attacks, so you have to need any high performance tool that is able to stop the attack from many sources. So the DDoS is much much more difficult to protect.
As you mentioned, with the single level attacks, they're higher level attacks by a single attacker, right? Are we seeing a little bit more of that nowadays, kind of wrapped into the DDoS attacks where they're attacking at the application level as well?
I think that we can see both. We can see application layers. We can see also DDoS attacks. But for the DDoS attack, it's as I mentioned, very difficult to protect because you need a high performance and very powerful tools, which is difficult to somehow filter. Yeah.
What's the more traditional method for handling this filtering, you know, of an attack or defending against the attack?
Okay, so against the DDoS attack, you can use over-provisioning. So you can use many servers instead of ones to, and you can use high-speed links to avoid this type of the attacks. So this is one possible solution, but it's very expensive. So it's better to have some special tools for the filtering. And for the filtering, typically you need some kind of the firewalls. But if you have a firewalls, and you have many sources of the attack, you need to change the file. You need to support to protect against many, many IP addresses from many, many sources. And this is typically difficult. So you need very high-speed firewalls. And if there is a changing in the sources over the time, you need to also change the filtering mechanism for the filtering. So this is another way how to protect. And also there are scrubbing centers, special devices where you can send your traffic to mitigate the DDoS attack. But these scrubbing centers need to be very powerful. And also they take some latency into the transfer of the traffic because you need to route all the traffic to the scrubbing center.
When it comes down to the actual underlying technologies that you can use either, you know, in your own defense of a DDoS attack or even at the scrubbing centers, we've got two different approaches to this, right? You can use traditional ASIC-based NICs, you know, like ConnectX, or you could use, you know, FPGA-based NICs. How do you see those two as offering different performance?
Yeah. For the standard NICs, the issue is that you are able to filter on these snakes only using fixed rules that are in the ASICs. But you cannot evolve this filtering mechanism over the time, so you cannot adjust the filtering. And this is a big issue, because when the cyber attacks are evolving, you need to change the filtering mechanism over the time. So what is missing here in this type of devices is flexibility. And in this, if there is a need for the flexibility, you need to send all the traffic to software and provide filtering on the software, which is then limited by the speed of the CPU, by the performance of the CPU. So in that case, you have a limited performance. So this is a limitation of the standard ASIC-based NICs. If you use a NIC which has an ARM core on the smart NIC, in that case, you can offload some processing on the ARM cores on the smart NIC. But these ARM cores are also limited in the speeds. Typically, one core is able to process 3 million packets per second. So for the 100 gig links, where is the maximal packet counts per second, 160, it's not enough. You need a very huge amount of the CPU cores, which is not typically available on the smart NICs. And if you have a more complicated rules that is needed on the smart NIC filter, you spend also much more time on the CPU cores. You need to, you have less performance and less amount of packets per second per core.
So you're saying if the rules become more complex, that 3 million packets per second actually goes down?
Yeah, exactly. So it drops the performance if there is a much complex filtering mechanism.
Lucas, do you have anything to add to this?
Totally agree with Jan. We are actually preparing a post or submission, or we have accepted submission for DPDK Summit that will be in Stockholm in 2 months, I believe, where we will be showcasing the difference or the problem when filtering on ASIC-based cards or ARM-based cards will degrade the performance as you increase the number of rules or as you increase the complexity of the filtering. So we have some specific measurements that we will present there as well.
I look forward to seeing those. We've talked in the past about Cloudflare, you know, having done defense against huge volumetric attacks like 31 terabits per second using the generic approach. Do you think, you know, beyond Cloudflare, do you think anybody could even try and scale, you know, using, you know, an ASIC-based approach to address this? Or do you think it's just better to go FPGAs?
For the ASIC-based smart NICs, you can easily scale by the amount of the servers, but you need to have many, many servers and many, many smart NICs to mitigate huge attacks. So you need a lot of space use in a racks, you consumes a lot of kilowatts of energy, and you also need many servers. So this is a very expensive approach. And if you are able to mitigate the attacks on high-speed links, it's better to have some solution that has a high-speed connectivity smart NIC and the servers and the filtering on the smart NICs. It's better to use this kind of the solution, not a distributed, not only a smart NIC with low-speed NICs.
So I've been working with FPGAs now for at least 10 years in the network pipeline. A lot of people, though, still don't understand how an FPGA differentiates itself from more traditional ASIC-based solutions or ARM solutions. They don't understand the underlying, you might want to call it magic, right? Because you don't program these things, you know, in C or any traditional language, Python or whatever. How are they, or why are they so uniquely positioned to handle volumetric networking data?
The biggest advantage for the FPGA is that it's flexible and it's programmable. So the FPGAs has the performance of the hardware and the flexibility of the software. So you can very easily program the FPGA smart NICs to provide at the data plane, in the data path, the filtering mechanism, which is very fast, And according to the configurator, also flexible. You can change the filtering mechanism. And this is a big advantage. So as I mentioned, it's a hardware. So you can achieve very high speed. You can easily achieve 400G. And it's also flexible. So you can change the filtering mechanism to adjust to new attack vectors or to new cyber attacks that evolves over time.
It's easy to understand how to get to, you know, 400 gigabits on a link or 390 or whatever the theoretical number is, right? But the corner case that everybody always runs to for this kind of stuff is packets per second, right? If you have an FPGA pipeline, can you, in theory, really meet the 150 million packet per second threshold on a 100G pipeline?
Yes, it's definitely possible, and the dynamic solutions provide the packet processing at full line speed. So with the 600,000 packets per million packets per second per the interface. So it's possible. It's not so easy, but it's possible to achieve at the FPGA these numbers, and Dynanic is able to do that.
And you do that by breaking it up into multiple parallel pipelines, right?
We have a unique solution. Maybe Lukas can describe it a little better way. But we have not a single pipeline which is a deep, but we have also a next level of the parallelism that is a vertical to the deep pipeline to achieve the very high speed. So it is a unique technology that is able to scale the throughput, not only by the frequency, but also by the design pattern, which utilizes the parallel nature of the FPGA.
Now, as these attacks evolve and the threat vectors change, how does AI fit into this for detecting these changing attacks, right? Because we know about the 24 or so that have been around forever, right? But there are newer classes of attacks that attack at the higher layers. How do you detect that using AI?
The AI is changing everything, and it's also a big change in network security. Because using the AI tools, you can easily evolve the attack over the time. You can swap multiple vectors in a few seconds, in a few milliseconds. So you need to have a flexible tool, flexible device that is able also to evolve to the vector threat. So attack vectors, you need to have a tools that can be adjusted to the evolution of the attack. So AI is changing everything. It's changing the adaptability of the attack to protection of the victim. So the protecting tools need to also be adaptable, need to be flexible to adjust the filtering mechanism and the detection mechanism over the time.
You mentioned latency earlier in the scrubbing centers and other places. What latency is considered acceptable for mitigating a DDoS attack before the packets on the other end are considered delayed or lost?
So it strongly depends. But if you want to support also low latency services, you need to be very fast. You need to be in terms of microseconds to forward the packets from the one to another port on the mitigation device. But this is not achievable by the scrubbing center, because when you need to route something from one point to another, you are in terms of the milliseconds. So in that case, you increase this way the latency, and this latency is for every packet that goes through the scrubbing center. So this is some drawback for this kind of the systems. Maybe Lukas, can you a little bit more elaborate on this?
Yes, so with hardware-based data path, with direct forwarding of packets, you can achieve latency of microseconds, even nanoseconds for dedicated low latency applications or low latency implementations. And the filtering operation can be done with the same latency, regardless of the packet rate. So we are talking about microseconds. And even forwarding packets through a one or two layers of some networking infrastructure Now we are talking about milliseconds or tens of milliseconds. So there is a completely different degree of, in terms of latency, what you can achieve. And the scrubbing center itself, again, it is usually built as a device with, or it can be a service provided in the cloud. So again, the latency of the scrubbing center will be, again, milliseconds, maybe even more. So this is completely different level or completely different scale of latency. Comparing an FPGA-based filtering, the FPGA-based acceleration or protection, comparing to a standard approach, comparing to a scrubbing center or something similar.
So basically what you're saying is that the DynaNIC pipeline and an FPGA would be measured in hundreds of nanoseconds probably for packets in, packets out, right? Whereas if we're going through an ASIC, like a ConnectX or whatever, that's got to go up to the host. It's looking at 2 micros just to get to the host, right? Then be processed on the host, which would be, I don't know, a dozen other micros, and then another few more micros to get it back down and out. You know, they're, you know, and that's just one device in their pipeline, right? Yeah. So we're talking 3 to 6 orders of magnitude difference.
Yes.
Yeah. There are 2 points there. If you use a scrubbing center, as you need to take care of the latency, send packets to scrubbing center and back. And another point is the latency that is provided by the scrubbing center. If the scrubbing center is using just the hardware, for example, the FPGA SmartNIC, in that case, you can achieve a faster forward path with a sub-microsecond latency in hundreds of nanoseconds. If you need to send the packets to the software, which is typical for ASIC-based SmartNICs, you will need to count with the latency in terms of microseconds for the PCI Express transfer. And also, if there are some buffers at the software side there and you have several, let's say, tasks that are switched, the latency can be increased not only to tens of microseconds, but also to milliseconds, also in the software processing. Yeah.
How about if we look at this from a kind of cost angle, right? Everybody looks at FPGA boards and, you know, they're not, you know, $1,000 board. They're, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 boards, sometimes even higher than that. Whereas, you know, you look at, you know, the ConnectX, it might be $1,000 or so, or Bluefield, that might be $3,000. You know, there's definitely a, you know, the FPGA solutions are more expensive, but is the value there? I mean, am I going to get that much more out of an FPGA over these other technologies that, you know, it brings in the economies of scale?
Yeah, it's it's a good question. If you look at the amount of CPU cores that is consumed by the filtering, and if you imagine that this is scaling to achieve 400G, you need a multiple servers to achieve 400G and many CPU cores. So you spend not only the money for the network interface card, but also you spend money for the servers and for the CPU cores. So you have to count not only the price for the FPGA SmartNICs, which can provide the filtering on the SmartNIC, but you have also count on the opposite side, the ASIC-based SmartNICs, for example, NVIDIA Bluefield, that you will need some software processing, and you consume the CPU cores that cannot be after that used, for example, for AI-based detection or for any other task which can control the SmartNIC for the filtering.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is that I'll need many, you know, maybe a half a dozen or a dozen systems to equal a single FPGA card in a system.
Yeah, you need multiple servers to support the same performance that you can achieve using the FPGA SmartNIC. So you can save the number of servers by using one FPGA card on FPGA SmartNIC.
Right. And in the real world, that translates to quite a bit, because I got to throw these in a rack in a data center, and I'm going to pay an exorbitant amount of money for the electricity and the real estate for that on a recurring monthly basis. So over a three-year time frame, this savings could be substantial.
Yeah, exactly. The cost is not only for the server, but also for the energy and for the space in the rack. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Software licenses, support, and all of that.
Yeah.
I would like to add a different angle.
Sure.
Especially for security applications, for protecting your networks, especially against DDoS attacks. You are looking at the worst case scenario, let's say. So, yes, some ASIC cards boast a quite nice performance. They claim to be able to achieve 100 gigs or 400 gigs, but the claims are usually true only in certain traffic cases or in certain traffic shapes, not in the worst case. And the attack is usually the worst case. Quite high packet rate, a lot of packets moving through the card. So you also have to look, especially in the security area, you also have to look at the worst possible performance. So you want to maintain this high level of performance even when you are under attack. So that's another benefit of the FPGA cards with dedicated data paths that can handle full line rate, full packet rate operation compared to the ASICs, where they can become overwhelmed when trying to filter high packet volumes or shortest packets and something like that.
Right. The ASICs aren't typically designed to handle continuous 64-byte packet flows, right? Exactly. They're designed kind of for the middle of the market to handle the normal 1,500-byte packets at, you know, wire rate, not 64-byte, which is orders of magnitude more complex to handle.
Yes.
And one more point is that the network protocols is also evolving over the time, not only cyber attacks. So if you have a ready solution, a ready ASIC solution for some, let's say, layer 2 tunnels, and the new layer 2 tunnels is coming and is used in data center or in a network, you need to somehow support this. And if this is not supported at the level of the smart NICs, you can after that don't use, for example, the research side scaling to multiple cores or something like that. And this is a limiting factor, which after that means that you drop the performance of the CPU-based detection systems, or you need to replace the old smart NIC by the new one. For the FPGA-based SmartNIC, it's a totally different because you can change the behavior. You can adapt to the supporting number of protocols and support the new layer 2 tunnels without replacement of the hardware, just by the upload, just by the upgrade of the SmartNIC. Yeah. So this is another advantage which can increase the lifetime of the solution. Yeah.
So I hear you guys are going to be at the RSA conference next week in San Francisco. Do you want to give us a little bit on that?
Thank you for noticing. We will be at the RSA conference next week. So at the end of March, we'll be in San Francisco. So if you want to learn more about DDoS and how the FPGA SmartNICs can help in protecting your networks against DDoS attacks, come stop by our stand or, you know, send us a message and we can organize a meeting and discuss more in person.
I heard you guys are going to be having a demo at the show.
We'll be exactly demonstrating a DDoS protection on 400 gigabit Ethernet card with FPGA-based filtering. So we'll be showcasing that we can indeed filter all the packets, all the attacking traffic at this kind of performance that in a single machine. In the single FPGA card.
That's outstanding. I wish you guys have a great show. Well, I want to thank both of you for your time today, Lucas and Jan. It's been great having you. I wish you great success with Dynanic's DDoS defense solution.
Thank you very much, Scott. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, guys.